نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة. Mursan Khan, he translates, حفظه الله, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. he frowned and turned away, because there came to him the blind man. But what could tell you that perchance he might become pure, or that he might receive admonition, and that the admonition might profit him? As for him who thinks himself self-sufficient, to him you attend, what does it matter to you if he will not become pure? But as to him who came to you running and is afraid, of him you are neglectful and diverse your attention to another. Nay, indeed it is an admonition. So whoever wills, let him pay attention to it. It is in records held greatly in honor, exalted, kept pure and holy, in the hands of scribes, honorable and obedient. Be cursed the disbelieving man, how ungrateful he is. From what thing did he create him? From a nutfa, a male and female semen drops. He created him, and then he set him in due proportion. Then he makes the path easy for him. Then he causes him to die, and he puts him in his grave. Then when it is his will, he will resurrect him. Nay, but man has not done what he has commanded him. Then let man look at his food, that we pour forth water in abundance, and we split the earth in clefts, and we cause therein the grain to grow, and grapes and clover plants, and olives and date palms, and gardens dense with many trees, and fruits and abba, or herbage, etc., to be a provision and benefit for you and your cattle. Then when there comes a-sa-kha, that day shall a man flee from his brother, and from his mother and his father, and from his wife and his children. Every man that day will have enough to make him careless of others. Some faces that day will be bright, laughing, rejoicing at good news, and other faces that day will be dust stained, darkness will cover them, such will be the kafara. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that this surah is Makkiyah, or this is a Meccan surah that was revealed before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah from Al-Madinah to Mecca. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. He frowned and turned away. And Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, he frowned and he turned his face away. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Because there came to him a blind man. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, that means because a blind man came to him. And he is Ibn Ummi Maktoum. And his name is Abdullah ibn Shuraih ibn Malik ibn Rabi'a al-Fahri, from the tribe of Amir ibn Lu'ay. And that is that indeed he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking with Utbah ibn Rabi'a, and Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, and Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and Ubay ibn Khalaf, and his brother Umayyah. He was calling them to Allah and hoping that they might accept Islam. And Ibn Ummi Maktoum, he said, O Messenger of Allah, read to me and teach me from that which Allah taught you. And he began calling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and repeating his call to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Ummi Maktoum, he didn't know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned with other than him, until the look of dislike came upon the face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his speech was cut off.
And he said to himself that the notable people, they say the only people who follow him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the blind and the slaves and the lowly people. So he frowned and turned his face away, and he turned away from Ibn Ummi Maktum. And he turned towards the people that he was speaking to. And Allah revealed these verses, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that he used to honor Ibn Ummi Maktum. And whenever he saw him, he would say, Marhaban to the one whom my Lord had corrected me or admonished me because of him. And he used to say to him, is there anything I could do for you? And he made him the leader of Medina twice in his absence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during two of the battles that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought. And Anas ibn Malik, he said, I saw him, Ibn Ummi Maktum, on the day of Al-Qadisiyah, and this was one of the battles that the Muslims had with the disbelievers. And he had on a suit of armor, and he carried a black flag, radiallahu anhu. I wanted to, as we were trying to make it our habit and our custom, inshallah ta'ala, to be brief with the tafsir, as Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah is brief. But sometimes there's just so many good points that come from the tafsir, so that it might be beneficial for us, inshallah ta'ala, to just stretch out every now and then, so long as we don't make a habit of it, inshallah ta'ala. Ibn Ummi Maktum, he was also the muadhin of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also, radiallahu anhu, killed his wife for the sake of Allah, radiallahu anhu. He had two beautiful young children from this lady who used to talk bad about the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, that day I took my dagger, hid it in my clothes, and I told her, don't talk about the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. But she continued until I couldn't control myself. So I took my dagger and I got close to her and I stuck it in her, and then I fell on top of her until I killed her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next day, they were wondering who killed this lady. And then Abdullah ibn Maktum, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was asking who killed this lady. And Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulallah, I told her not to talk bad about you, so I killed her. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was silent. And some of the ulama have extracted from this that if someone talks bad about you, that you don't have the ability to fight them because they talked against you. But if someone talks against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then it's another case. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, so that we don't misunderstand our statements. This is not an encouragement to kill someone who's ignorant, who talks bad about the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there's consequences. During the time of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, when things got strong, it was a different story. When the Muslims are strong, and somebody talks about the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he gets what he deserves, and ain't gonna be no consequences but the statement of the Muslims, Allahu Akbar. But right now it might be some evil consequences for the Muslims who take this stance in defense of Al-Islam. And it's for us to be patient and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the glory that He's blessed the Muslims who have come before us with. The ulama, some of the ulama, they also add that you have to reflect on this incident that took place. His frowning and turning away from Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum radiallahu anhu, isn't that it hurt and affected Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum? Because he was blind, he couldn't see him frowning and turning away anyway. And he didn't know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking to someone in the first place, like a blind person saying something. Later on, somebody might say, he was doing something. The blind man, he doesn't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if you're wrong, even if the person doesn't know. Like sometimes we take advantage of the people, we get over on the people, and they don't know it was us getting over on them and taking advantage of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And no one should think that he's good so long as somebody didn't catch him being disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, because Allah already caught him. And if you think he couldn't, this is the example of His last Prophet and Messenger to humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then there was a touchy subject that I thought I might not mention, but since we were just at a similar touchy subject, we might as well go ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Oftentimes I'm asked the question from Muslims who come from their countries and visit our masjid, where are the white Muslims? And I always answer, I don't know, and I'm not responsible. I've only been commanded to deliver the message. And some of the people, they feel that this statement of mine is a racist statement. But let's reflect on this story of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam with Ibn Ummi Maktoum, and let's understand it in light of this statement. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as he said, he was feeling in himself that the people keep saying, if you was right, Ya Rasulullah, why only blind people, slaves, and poor people down with you? So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, listen, let me mix them, people who are looked down upon, and let me make my da'wah for the status quo or the notable, famous people who are looked up to. Maybe then it'll make my da'wah stronger. This was the idea of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah corrected him. And for the people who come to the West wanting the status quo of America or the West in general to accept Islam, where you get that from, except that that's a mentality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonished. Not that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is a man of bad character, but the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, who was a man who had loved for the people to accept Islam, so much so that he was killing himself out of grief alayhi salatu wasalam for the people to accept Islam. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam's niyya was pure in his desires for certain people to accept Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and taught him. And this is a lesson for us more so than the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It isn't the good intentions that you have all the time that makes everything right. But it must be in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case, desiring the status quo or the people are looked up to accept Islam, and to overlook the people who have already accepted Islam because they're looked down upon as slaves and blind and lowly people, or maybe nowadays ex-slaves, or the poor people, or as you say, the people on welfare, or the people in the ghetto. That's all who has accepted Islam. What about, as someone told us, Abu Muslima, I would help your Islamic center, Masjid wa Ahl al-Sunnah, Madrasah wa Ahl al-Sunnah, except that we want our da'wah to be geared to the white Americans who have not accepted Islam. Because perhaps if they accept Islam, then everyone else in America would accept Islam. This is a mentality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has checked. It is not anyone's responsibility except to deliver the message and to educate and to teach the people who want to learn al-Islam. If he's poor, if he's one person, if he's blind, if he's from the ghetto, if he wants his deen, give him his deen. And if somebody is wealthy and rich and famous and has no concern for this deen, then that's his problem. And if you think that it's the problem of the Muslims because we didn't get them to accept Islam, then you have a problem that you need to read Surah Al-Abasa and to reflect on it and to let it correct your understanding. I hope that inshallah ta'ala our statements aren't statements of racism. But our statements are statements of Quran and Sunnah, and understandings and principles that are extracted from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really for myself, who used to be with the racists, I have made, astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive me, very clear statements of racism in the past. And I only don't want to say them because I hope Allah forgives me for even having the audacity to say them in the past out of my ignorance. But if I were to make them, it would be very clear. As we're in a land where racism has been stated openly and expressed in the strongest language for years now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the Muslims who believe in and adhere to and understand Allah's statement, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most noble in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. But what could tell you that perchance he might become pure? Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, to purify himself from sins by the performance of righteous deeds, and by that which he will learn from you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Zayd, he says that what is meant by this, but what could tell you that perchance he might become pure? Meaning, he might become Muslim. Means that he might accept Islam. I just want to add to this statement of Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, and this is sometimes a misunderstanding that I find with some of the brothers. They think their statement, I repented, means to the rest of us that they repented. If your statement, I repented, is in fact sincere, then Allah will accept it. Because Allah accepts the repentance of those who repent to Him sincerely. We know Allah, and we don't know if you're sincere about your statement or not. What we know is what we see from someone's deeds. And this statement of the Shaykh Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, to purify yourself from sins with the performance of righteous deeds. If in fact someone has repented from something, everyone should be able to see it. It's not something that's just said, I repented, but it's something that the people can see. Like we might have told our parents in the past, Ma, I accepted Islam. Yeah, but I know you. I raised you, remember? Until she sees. You don't have to say nothing. After she sees the change, then it's clear. And this is how we have to be, stop tricking each other into saying, I'm right now, after I was wrong. Let your actions sometimes speak for themselves, as Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah is showing, that the repentance is with the performance of righteous deeds. That's how you purify yourself from those sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustas. أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or that he might receive admonition, and that the admonition might profit him. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, or that he might receive a beautiful exhortation, and that that exhortation might benefit him. أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى. As for him who thinks himself self-sufficient, Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, as far as the one who thinks that he's self-sufficient from Allah, or self-sufficient, or independent, or self-sufficient of Iman because of what he has of his wealth. He thinks that his wealth makes him independent of Allah and Iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. To him you attend. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, you turn to that person and you go all out the way to deal with him, and you get real serious and you're listening, or real attentive and you're listening to his speech. You with me? Let me back up, inshallah. This is where we left off before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for turning away from the blind man and worrying about the wealthy and the leaders and the notable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for that one who thinks he's independent, I don't need no Allah, I don't need no belief. We in charge, we own everything, look at our money. What we gotta get down for that? We already, every people worship us. Y'all talking about worship something, people worshiping us. Alright, is that the one you gonna be worried about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing what took place. I just kind of like explained already. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining now. That's the one you were all worried about? To the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. First he's telling him what he did. You turned away from him. How you know if he was going to purify himself, this, that. And this one, that think that he's all that, no need of Allah or belief, you worried about him. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. What does it matter to you if he will not become pure? Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says that he won't believe, that he won't be guided. It's only on you to deliver the message. I had already put all of this in the statement ahead of time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laying it out. If those famous people don't accept Islam, so what? What you were? He don't accept, so what? Ain't nobody hold you accountable for them accepting Islam or not accepting Islam. Somebody, and we back to the statement again. Oh Muslimah, where are all the white Muslims? What you worrying about it for? What you worrying about if they believe or they don't believe? What's your concern? You only been commanded to deliver the message. But people have problems, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is correcting them for the one who want to be corrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays it out for us if we want it laid out for us. Then it's been laid out for us in the Quran. I used to say before in some of our classes, Alhamdulillah, who has not made us responsible for the people accepting Islam. You understand the seriousness of that statement? Alhamdulillah, who has not made us responsible for the people accepting Islam. Why? That would have meant he worrying about whatchamacallit and them accepting Islam. If they don't, you get punished by it. Every time you call somebody to Islam, you don't accept Islam, you get punished. You won't be worried about somebody accepting Islam then? Alright, why are you worrying about somebody accepting Islam? Allah entrust us with the accepting of Islam from the people. What we have been entrusted with is the deliverance of the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and made his story in many places in the Quran short and at length to make it clear to you if you had any doubts. It ain't got nothing to do with who gonna get down with it and who's not. The issue is deliverance of the message, and you get that with the story of Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years, nobody accepted it except a few. You ain't calling nobody to Islam but about for 10 years, 5 years, 1 year. What you worried about? If ain't nobody accepted Islam, we should be happy. Wallahi, I called 100 people to Islam last year. None of them accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah. Because every time you gave the da'wah, you did what you were commanded, inshallah, your reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, what you tired for 10 years ain't nobody accept Islam. 15 years ain't nobody accept Islam. When they gonna accept Islam? I don't know. And that's not something for us to be concerned about. What we're to be concerned about is delivering the message properly. And wallahi, with our misunderstandings of Islam, we should be in classes day and night trying to get the correct understanding down so we can deliver the message properly. Because the message isn't even being delivered properly in cases where most of the people want somebody else to accept Islam. You can't even deliver the message to them properly, wanting them to be Muslim. And astaghfirullah for going too far. That's why most of them are Sufis. Now, you wanted them to become Muslim, alright, now they are Sufis. And if you pay attention to what's happening, you see the Sufi movement on the rise. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give sunnah. And He will give the strength to Ahlul Sunnah. Because this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam prophesies with the statement, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ. There will never cease to be a party for my ummah on this truth, victorious and apparent. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make us all Muslim. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. But as to him who came to you running, Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah said, walking. And this is referring to Ibn Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he is afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. Of him you are neglectful and diverse your attention to another. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah said, you too busy, or you fake like you busy, and you turn away from him. See, now the whole picture is there. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, turn away from somebody who's trying to get on his deen. And then he turns to somebody who don't want nothing to do with his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what he does and then tell him, look at it, look at you. This is what you did, now look at what you did. As an admonishment, may it be an admonishment to us. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةً. Nay, indeed it is an admonition. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says that this nay or no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it in a harsh way, meaning no, don't ever do what you did again after you just did it. This is the statement of Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. Alright, you check out that I just mentioned to you what you did, and I laid it out to you, show you how you was out of place. Now don't do that again. Indeed, this admonishment is an admonition and a reminder for creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show you how you are. He created you. And then He show you how you act. And He show you how you're out of place. And He show you how you should be. And then He say, don't do it again. And this is a reminder for you. Alhamdulillah. Some of them say, indeed this admonishment is a reminder. Some of the ulama, Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, Muqatal said, indeed this, meaning indeed these ayat, is a reminder. And it's the same thing. As those ayat is the same admonishment, which is the story. And they are a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. So whoever wills, let him pay attention to it. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, and whoever wills, and whosoever wills from the servants of Allah, then let him take this as a piece of admonishment or advice or admonition. And Muqatal, he says, whoever Allah wills, remembers and understands, and takes it as an admonishment if Allah wills, and gives him the understanding. And the statement, so whoever wills, let him pay attention to it. Imam al-Baghdadi rahimullah, he says, it refers to the Qur'an, or revelation, or this reminder. And then after Allah Azza wa Jal laid that out, he showed the position of the Qur'an that delivered this admonition. As he says, فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ, it is in records held greatly in honor. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah, he says, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And this is the same statement of Muhsin Khan. Sometimes I leave out the brackets and sometimes I add it in. Because when I put in the brackets and then I make the statement of Imam al-Baghawi, then it comes out to be the same thing. Like if I would have read this, it is in records held greatly in honor, Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah, he says, it is in records held greatly in honor, meaning the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Same statement as Muhsin Khan. As Muhsin Khan's tafsir, his translation is based on the tafsir of the ulama. It's also said that it is in records held greatly in honor. This means it is in the scriptures of the prophets alayhi musallam. And the dalil for this is in the statement, Inna hadha la fi suhufi al-ula, suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. Indeed, this is in the first records, or the first pages. In the pages of Ibrahim and Musa, and this is the same word, the suhuf. It's the same one used here to show that these are also mentioned in the prophets, other scriptures also. Allah knows best. Those other ayahs was from Surah Al-A'la, verses 18 and 19. Marfu'atin mutahara, exalted in dignity, kept pure and holy. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, exalted in its position in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's also said, exalted means that it's high in the seventh heaven. Pure, as Musa Khan says, pure and holy. Pure meaning nothing touches it except those who are pure, meaning the angels. From the Surah Al-Waqi'ah. The A.D. Safara, honorable, in the hands of scribes, Musa Khan says, angels. Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, they say, the scribes, who are the noble angels who write down. One of them is called the Safir, and the group is called Safara. And others, they say, they are the messengers from amongst the angels. Just like you say, the messenger from amongst a people is the one that hurries to reconciliate amongst the people. Then he explains that linguistically. Kiramin barara, honorable and obedient. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah, he says, then Allah praises them as he says, honorable and obedient, honorable in the sight of Allah, obedient and obedient. No. This is often, you know, in the tafsir where they're just using synonyms. I'm not good with all the synonyms in English. Somebody know another word for obedient? That's why I said obedient, obedient. And Arabic is barara and muti'een. But both of them are the same synonyms which both mean in English, obedient. No. And even if you use three words to say the same thing, if you use one word, you're still saying the same thing. No. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ, be cursed, the disbelieving man, how ungrateful he is. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says this statement of Allah, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ, it means the kafir is cursed. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ. And here I want to correct, some of the brothers have translated this in the past, may Allah kill him, when the word قُتِلَ is mentioned in Arabic. Because the word قَتَلَ is the word to kill. And قُتِلَ, some of the people think that it means to kill too. But it doesn't have that meaning. It means a total different thing. It means the curse is on you. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the munafiqeen, قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. And some of them say, may Allah fight him. Not may Allah fight him, it means la'ana, or the curse of Allah is on them. Nah. And this is why we say, it's dangerous for someone to understand Islam because of his understanding of the Arabic language. And this is why we say that we're Salafi and we follow the manhaj of the Salaf, because the Quran and the Sunnah can only be understood by the understanding that has already taken place. If in fact قُتِلَ means to kill, then the people before you would have said that قُتِلَ means to kill. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ and the likes of this, they would have said it if it meant that. But they didn't say it, and we don't say it. Because we only say what they say, inshaAllah ta'ala. And Muqatil, he said that this was revealed concerning Utbah ibn Abi Lahab. Utbah ibn Abi Lahab, who was Abu Lahab. And Utbah ibn Abi Lahab, I think the Prophet ﷺ married his daughter to him. Somebody knows? Well, I might be mistaken. I might be Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. How ungrateful he is. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, how serious he is in his kufr in Allah, with all that Allah has blessed him with. And that Allah is saying this in a manner of amazement. How ungrateful is he? With exclamation point. Or as Zujjaj is saying, be amazed his kufr. And he be amazed. When you see the kafir, be amazed. Allah blessed him with all of that, and then he becomes a kafir, and he's ungrateful after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. It's like we used to say, astaghfirullah, we was living in Medina. You live in the city of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you don't make salah and you don't fast. You know, be amazed at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed somebody with something and he's not grateful for those blessings. And Al-Kalbi and Muqatil, they say, it's posed as a question, how ungrateful is he? But what is meant is, what in the world made him a kafir? Or what in the world encouraged him to be a kafir? And then Allah explained and clarified that it was necessary for him to know that Allah created him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what thing did he create him? Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says that Allah poses this as a question, but it really meant it's like that. Not that what was he created from? From what thing did he create him? No. He created him from drops. He created him and then he set him in due proportion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't asking. Allah is saying he created and then Allah goes on to show what he created him from. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, then he explains that with his statement that he created him from the drops of sperm and then he fashioned him, meaning in stages. First he was a drop, sperm, then he was a clot of blood, and then to another creation like that. And Al-Kalbi, he said, he determined his creation
for the proportion of his creation, meaning gave him his head to be shaped like that, and then gave him his eyes, and then his hands, and then his legs like that. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then he makes the path easy for him. Imam al-Baghir rahimahullah said, he made the path easy for him to come out of the womb of his mother. And As-Suddi, Muqatil, al-Hasan, and Mujahid, they say, he made it easy for him the path of the truth and the path of falsehood. He made it easy for the human being to learn both of those paths. Just as Allah says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. Indeed, we have guided him to the path. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجَدَيْنِ. And we have guided him to the two paths. As some of the ulama explain in Surah Al-Balad, the path of good and the path of bad. And others say, he made it easy for everyone what he created everyone with, he made it easy for him to be like he created him and the way he proportions him. I just want to add this statement of my Shaykh Umar Falasa, Hafizahullah. I remember when he used to try to humble us and show us we were nothing, he used to always say, I'm amazed at you, Mr. Arrogant, the one who came out of two bloody legs, crying. I'm amazed at how you can be so arrogant. You came out of a pair of two bloody legs. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this is just to show, this is where you came from. Don't act like you're somebody. You came out, your mother screaming to death. They telling her push. She screaming to death. You pop out blood, anything nasty. That's you. Now you think you're better than somebody. You're not better than nobody. That's on the beginning. That's at the beginning. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقَبَرَهُ. Then he causes him to die and puts him in the grave. Our Shaykh, before in the statement of Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, our Shaykh Omar Falati used to always say, Mr. Arrogant, what you going to do when we bury you? Ants eating you and stuff. Who going to save your bones for you? Nah. And when you realize this is your beginning and that's your end, you won't be arrogant and ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you'll be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know that's your beginning and that's your end. And you'll be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless you in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the grateful. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, then he causes him to die and puts him in his grave. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah said, he made a grave for him to be his place of his abode. And al-Farra, he said, he made for him a grave. And then he makes some statements I don't understand. Allah caused him to die, meaning he caused him to be put in the grave. And he made for him a grave, or something like that. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. Then when it is his will, he will resurrect him again. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, he will bring him back to life after his death. Now this is a reminder. I was having, if you want to call it, for lack of better words, a debate with one of Farrakhan's followers. Well, it used to be Elijah's program that the resurrection was a mental resurrection and not a physical one. But the Quran, it speaks of mental resurrection and it speaks of the physical resurrection, and there's a difference between the two. It speaks of the mental resurrection, and it speaks of the physical resurrection, and there's a difference between the two. I think we're going over some tafsir of some ayat. think before of the mental resurrection and surah to send a couple of surahs. I think we're doing one in surah to An'am, surah to A'raf. Maybe that was An'am. Those verses right now. I don't see those verses now. At any rate, in this surah, as we see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that this resurrection is a physical one. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we take a look at what's taking place, alright, how can you be so ungrateful and a disbeliever when I created you from a drop of sperm? Like our Sheikh used to say, I forgot about that. He used to be very graphic. Hafidhahullah. Maybe because he's from Nigeria. The Sheikh, he used to say, you know that slimy stuff, man, be on the sheet. Tell your wife, wash some sheets off. Wallahi, that's what you come from. If you make a mistake, you know it'll be on your leg. You'll be like trying to wipe it off. Hurry up, take that whistle. That's what you come from, Mr. Arrogant. How you arrogant? But anyway, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing, alright, you're starting from there. Then you coming out through the two bloody legs. Lady screaming and hollering. Then after that, you get buried in the ground. Then he bring you back again to life. That don't have nothing to do with no mental resurrection. The mental thing is when you come from darkness into light. That's a mental resurrection. You was ignorant, you came into the knowledge. You was astray, you became guided. Those are other verses. But there's too many verses like this where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it clear, you're going to be raised up again. And even the one who said to me one time, one of those followers of Farrakhan, he said, my uncle died the other day. I'm waiting for him to tell me what it's like. Y'all said he's going to get punished in his grave, right? I'm still waiting for him to tell me. I said, Allah told humanity before your uncle died what it's going to be like in the grave. Allah told humanity before your uncle. Because your uncle can't come back to tell you. But the one who created your uncle and created you told you ahead of time to warn you. So why don't you let the warning benefit you? But it's going to be like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ ذِكْرًا. Jahannam will be brought forward on the day of resurrection. And the human being will remember. But how would his remembrance benefit him then? That one who said, hey, well, my uncle ain't told me what's up yet, so I don't know. I just hear you talking. But when the hellfire, if he dies on that and the hellfire is brought for him, soon as he see the hellfire, he's going to remember. That's what he was talking about. But how will remembering then benefit you? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us now before it's too late. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقُضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. Nay, but man has not done what he, Allah, commanded him. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, nay, or no, this is a refutation to them. It is not the way that the kafir says it is, or the way he think it is. It's not the way. The kafir who's saying that he's not going to be resurrected again, he's not going to be brought back to life again, Allah says, no, it's not like you think it is. And this is a refutation on them, just like Imam al-Baghawi says. When you refute one of them, you say, listen, you say this is mental,
You're saying Allah is refuting the people who say that there's a mental resurrection. Somebody says, I don't believe in a mental resurrection. Somebody says, I don't believe in it. Allah is refuting them. If you're saying this is only a mental resurrection, nobody denies the mental resurrection because everybody sees it. So who Allah refuting? Allah is refuting the people who deny, not the people who accept and believe. If you ask anybody, is it possible that someone can be misguided and be guided later? Everybody's going to agree. Do you believe that someone could be in darkness and be brought to light? Everybody is going to agree. Do you believe that someone could be dead and brought back to life? Everybody doesn't believe that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting the people who don't believe that. And this is even a bigger reputation on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Al-Hasan, he says, no, meaning this is the truth. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah, he says, he didn't do what Allah had commanded him to do. Meaning he didn't do, Imam al-Baghawi is still saying this, he didn't do what was an obligation upon him. And then after Allah mentions this, he mentions the human being's provisions, فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Then let man look at his food. And so for Allah, I'm just feeling a little tired today. Maybe we'll try to take this section to the end on our next class. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there are any comments or questions on tonight's class. I was going to say for the end some of the points of reflection, but I already mentioned it in the beginning. So, and through it, and maybe sometimes that might be a little easier to keep the flow on where we're at. So that's all I have to present. There's nothing. Nah. I was almost going to mention that. Okay. In light of what we covered about calling the famous people or the notable people to Islam, then how are you going to look at that in light of the Prophet ﷺ sending the letters to the kings? And really we can add on top of sending letters to the kings, the Prophet's dua for one of the two Umar is to be accepted, Abu Jahl or Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, to be guided to Islam. The lesson of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sent those letters to the king, it was clear. It wasn't that he turned away from the people like in the other case. This was the simple deliverance of the message. Aslim taslam. Accept Islam and you'll be saved. He's just delivering the message. I ain't trying to work with you. Accept Islam, you're going to be safe. Or, you're going to carry the sin of your whole people. Or you're going to carry the sin and the sin of your whole people. So here the Prophet ﷺ wasn't going out his way. He was doing his job. You're only commanded to deliver the message. After that was the case. Either they accepted or they rejected. And it was war. If they didn't accept the message from the Messenger of Allah, what was the next move? Jihad on fi sabilillah. This is different than sweating somebody. I forgot what you call that. What do you call that? Sweating somebody. I don't know how you say it properly. Somebody got to know how you say that properly. Huh? Being overly concerned, I guess, being overly concerned about someone, you know? Like everything's not going to be alright unless they get down. Prophet ﷺ wasn't sending those letters to them, meaning everything ain't going to be right unless they get down. Nah, Prophet, right now he's looking at, hopefully they'll be okay if they get on this message. Because if not, the army we about to send
loves death more than the people love life.
So this is the difference between sweating those people to get down. The one who not, he don't want no Islam. You worrying about somebody who don't want Islam, and you leaving the people who want Islam.
This was the case that took place in the Surah Al-Abasa, between the Messenger of Allah والسلام, and those leaders, and Ibn Ummi Maktoum. As opposed to the issue of just giving the da'wah. Y'all come onto this deen. Accept Islam, you're going to be safe. Accept Islam, you're going to be safe. Peace be on those who follow right guidance. This is the difference between that and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And even with the case with, and some of our ulama have explained, Allah knows best, even with the case of calling, asking Allah to guide Umar or Abu Jahl to Islam, this was to bring power and might to Islam. A lot of times, don't be confused, some people want criminal sinners to come to Islam because they're famous. You want somebody to come to Islam because of his firmness, his sharpness, his keenness might be benefit to Islam. Like the people are wanting, Astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive me. One of the, I've been affected by Malcolm X, rahimahullah. You want puppets, entertainers, sports players. You want them to lead this struggle, they're not qualified. They're not going to lead this struggle. Those are not superstars. If they accept Islam, you're calling them to Islam like anybody else. If Michael Jackson accepts Islam, what's going to happen? I don't want to mention him because he accepted Islam. But you see, that's the difference. You want Clinton to accept Islam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Wallahi, he might mess with our wives or something. You want someone to accept Islam, maybe like, I don't know his lifestyle, you know, and I'm only looking for, what's that computer wizard that just, Bill, Gates? Alright, I don't know nothing about him personally. They say anything bad about him personally? I don't know. All you know is genius. Man in charge with a mind that everybody wished they could have. That's somebody you want to accept Islam. That man, if he accepts Islam, might be able to solve so many problems that we find ourselves being faced with you couldn't imagine. This ain't no ordinary mind you're talking about. This is different than a sports player. What are you going to do? Dunk or something? If he accepts Islam, what are you going to do? Dunk for it? It's a difference. When you're sweating somebody because of who he is, and then you're concerned about somebody because of who he is. You want him to accept Islam because of, you know, his benefit, what he's going to offer. Some other people, you know, I don't know his personal life either, you know, who was real, real famous, or was real strong, and he had a funny name, who took over Chrysler. Alright. He came, Chrysler was like, boom! All he said is, don't worry about no salary with me. I just want some shares, that's all. The shares that ain't worth nothing, that's what I want. What'd he do to that company? Bought it back up, now he's so large, just forget it, crazy. Them shares was worth nothing. He say, with my talent and my experience, I don't want no money. Just give me some of those shares. Because if I do good, I'm going to be okay. And if I don't, it's not going to hurt you. They didn't have nothing. Chrysler didn't have nothing to lose. They already lost. You remember, you don't even see Chrysler no more. Chrysler used to have all the police cars, taxi cabs. They ain't got them no more. Chevy took them. And then Ford getting a little play. All right, they was hitting rock bottom. Did he come in to offer him a deal that nobody can refuse? If I lose, you don't lose no more than you lost. If I win, I win. Alright, somebody like that, you might want to accept Islam because what he can bring into Islam. And even you, if this was looking back before,
They're even saying now Christ has taken over Mercedes Benz.
Done.
SubhanAllah.
Done deal.
How somebody just comes from a company that hit rock bottom and make it take the number one company, Mercedes Benz? That's the type of mind you want to come into this deen. When you're not, it's a difference when you're looking at somebody, why you want him to accept Islam. You think people want to accept Islam because of Michael Jackson? Name all of the people who followed Cat Stevens that came into Islam with him when he said his name, Yusuf Islam. I don't even know who he was. We was listening to something else. But I remember when I accepted Islam, at the time, you know, you write to a Muslim organization, they send you Islam in Focus, and Cat Stevens became Yusuf Islam in some literature. So I remember I'm reading it, and I'm at work, you know. And one of the girls at work, she say, "Hey, that's Cat Stevens?" I said, "Yeah, you know him?" Because you know, in the story, they make it like he's famous. I'm saying, how you a famous musician? I was a DJ, right, up until the year before that. I ain't never heard of him. She said, yeah, I know him. I got all this stuff. But something must have happened to him because I ain't heard nothing about him in the last 5, whatever, 10 years or something. I said, yeah, you know what happened to him, Liz? The same thing that should happen to you. He became a Muslim like me. Read his story. She was like, I'm still going to buy songs if you make any more, but I ain't with that religion. Entertainer, musician. I ain't saying that he shouldn't be Muslim, and it ain't no benefit for him if he accepts Islam, but you ain't sweating nobody over that, man. Keep on dancing. You want to dance, sing, whatever. All that, if they accept Islam, it's only going to benefit their own souls by helping them to repent and purify themselves. But Iacocca, Bill Gates, man, these heavyweights, man, they accept Islam. You don't know. That computer is solving all kind of problems, handling all situations. I can't even imagine the people's minds. I remember before looking at the little thing that, you know, your children be doing you can't do. I forgot what that's called. Rubik's Cube. All right, some people can handle that thing, man. SubhanAllah. You don't know what type of... I don't know what y'all be hearing, but I'm faced with all kind of cases I can't imagine that there's a solution for. And we deal with all types of problems we can't imagine what the solution is. One of the main problems in developing and building a Muslim community is the finances and the money. And what we working with and how we going to raise money. You ain't talking about no Iacocca, how you going to raise money. You ain't going to ask him that. He know how to raise money. He done did it. He can come in. Oh, what, we underdogs? We can't... Listen. Don't even worry about me, man. I got that. We ain't got no money for you. Listen. If I bring this thing up, right, we all agree that y'all gonna make dua for me? Inshallah. Afterwards, he said it all. What you gonna say? Oh, Allah, give him jannah. So this is the difference between sweating some people because you like them fools. Really, they fools in this world. And you sweating them, they hate Islam, they hate purification of their souls, and what have you, and you sweating them think it's going to be benefit because everybody like them. They don't like Michael Jackson because of what he do. They like him because of what he do. I mean, you don't want to be like him, you just like him. You know his music and stuff that the people like, but you don't want to be like him. Matter of fact, you don't even know where he is. How you going to be, even be like him if you wanted to? So it's the difference between that and the difference between calling people to Islam, who, like the Messenger of Allah, accepts Islam. He calling leaders of countries. When they accept Islam, it's like the Prophet Allah used to say to some of them, I didn't come to take over your country. I came to call you to Islam. Why? He already handling a country. You don't have to tell no leader of no country what to do. He know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. He handling a country. And nowadays, some leaders are handling more than a country. Like in the case before, Russia was just taken over. The president of Russia, he runs all them countries. Everybody under him. Millions and millions of people under his rule. You calling him to Islam because all the millions is going to come up. You know, certain personalities are just so domineering that people just submit. Alright, this is the difference. People have something to offer and you're calling them. But you only calling them to benefit their souls and in hopes it might benefit Islam. And if they don't, you know I'm just delivering a message. And you know it with your wording. Accept Islam, you'll be safe. If you don't, that's on you. If you don't, it's on you. Because we got some people waiting to come deal with you if you don't. So this is different than sweating some people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No.
Now I'm just calling this ayah, this one Surah Al-Ahqaf or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people who disbelieve say to those who believe, if it was good, we would have beat you to it. This is a statement of the kuffar. Alright, they're saying to the Sahaba, and some of the ulama use this to show why you have to follow the Sahaba. Because the kuffar are telling the Sahaba, if what y'all had was good, we would have been on it before y'all, because we high power like that. We got all the money, all the women, all the wealth, we in charge. And if it was something good, we would have had it, because everything we got is good. You know it. And the ulama say that this statement of Allah, showing that the kuffar are wrong, is showing that the Sahaba beat everybody in this world to the good. And that's why you have to get down with the manhaj of Salaf and to be with the Sahaba, because they beat everybody to it. The Kufar said, if it was good, we would have beat you to it. Islam is good and nobody beat them to it. And Islam is called good. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there arise from amongst you a nation, a group of people that is calling to the good, meaning calling to al-Islam. So this is the way of the kuffar. Hopes that, you know, somebody, because of who he is or what he represents, should be Muslim. You know, this isn't the case. The people who are Muslim are Muslim. And this was one of the same excuses that they brought to Noor. Only poor people with you. I'm not leaving off my people. Only the poor people down with you. That's alright. They down with me and I'm down with them. And you gonna get down with us or we gonna deal with you. That's Islam. And the Muslims have to stop worrying about, look at him. You ain't turning away somebody away who believe in this deen. Like some people be worried about who might accept Islam and come to the masjid. You have to be mindful, brother, of who you give this dawah to, because they might accept Islam and then they're going to be a burden on the community. SubhanAllah, loving. What's your wealth for? What's your wealth for? To hoard it up or to spend it in all of the avenues of good? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك